Morning. I just want to, first of all, thank Vicki and the choir for that special request. I love music, and I love gospel and jazz, and it's very inspiring, so I really appreciate the short notice, so thank you very much. This past week, I lost my voice on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm still recovering it. I almost thought Sondra would be up here signing to everybody, so... How many of us have a fear of flying? Anyone? Over the years, I've flown many times, and for the most part, they have been pleasant experiences. However, there was one time I took a flight that I'll never forget. I was training for a sales job in Baltimore, Maryland. One night after training, one of the salesmen who lived in the Baltimore area asked me to go flying with him and a few other salesmen. And without using one brain cell in my head, I said, okay, let's go. So that night after training, we drove to the Baltimore airport and boarded a six-seater plane with four other men. Our destination was Dulles Airport near Washington, D.C. Now, you need to know that one of the guys who went with us was a flight instructor. So we took off. It was a clear night, and you could see for miles. After 15 to 20 minutes, you could see the runway lights to the Dulles Airport. As we approached the airport, I noticed the pilot putting on a device that looked like a Darth Vader mask. So I asked the salesman, I said, what's going on? He told me he was being recertified for his pilot's license. In order to do that, he had to wear a device called a VFR, which stood for Visual Flight Restrictor. Now I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. So I asked him why he had to put that device on, especially now that we're about to land. He told me the visual flight restrictor was used to restrict the pilot's vision during landing, and in order to be recertified, he had to land a plane using instruments only. I'm thinking, check, please. Now, at that point, my eyes were glued on the pilot and the runway strip. As we descended to land, I prayed, Lord, get me out of this. The pilot did touch down safely, and as he touched down, my first thoughts were, what a relief. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe. Now let's go home. But those thoughts didn't last long. Next thing I knew, the plane is back in the air. I asked the salesman, I said, what's going on here? I said, why are we going back up again? He told me he's practicing touch and goes. Now, I don't know this pilot. So I looked at him and asked, I said, what is a touch and go? He told me the pilot was required to land and touch the ground so many times in order to be recertified. I'm thinking, can this get any worse? So we're back in the air, circling the airport, once again to go back down, touch the surface of the ground, go back up again, and start all over again. That nightmare continued for five more times. Each time I was holding my breath, hoping I would get through it. So finally, we're in the air on our way back to the Baltimore airport. Thank God we landed safely. I got out of the plane. I kissed the ground. Went back to my hotel. I was back home safe and secure. Isn't that how God works in our lives? He puts us in a difficult situation where we have no control and asks us to blindly trust Him. He leaves us in the dark, not knowing what's over the horizon. So what is our first reaction? Panic. We look for a way to escape. We experience fear, anxiety, uncertainty. And throughout the entire experience, God is waiting for us to trust Him and have faith in His ability to get us through safely. This morning's scripture reading showed us a great example of faith in action. Before we take a look at the passage, let's define faith. What exactly is it? Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is being assured of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, faith assures us that what we are hoping for is really going to happen. The whole message of the Bible can be summarized by one phrase: the righteous will live by faith. Godly men and women are by definition people of faith. God, through our faith, shapes our lives. But what does the Bible say about the lack of faith? Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him." Just think, anything we do in attempting to become a Christian means absolutely nothing if we lack faith. For without faith, the scripture says, we have no hope, no possibility of pleasing him. Now that is an incredible statement. Did you ever think why it says that? Because our whole life is about faith from beginning to end. We are introduced to God by faith. We accept his Son by faith. He expects us to live a life of faith. And at the end, we will enter eternity by faith. This morning's scripture reading shows us a great example of faith. Let's take a look at the story one more time. Late one afternoon, Jesus went up into the hills of Galilee by himself to pray. Before he did, he instructs his disciples to get into a boat and row across the Sea of Galilee to the other shore. As daylight fades in the darkness, we see the disciples struggling with the oars halfway across a choppy sea. Then suddenly, Jesus comes to them walking on water. Peter sees Jesus walking on water and calls out, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus responds, "Come." Hearing that command, Peter sits on the side of the boat, lowers himself over the edge, and began to walk on water. When Peter heard the command, "Come," what did he do? He immediately put his trust in Christ and climbed out of the boat. He didn't let fear or circumstances stop him. He obeyed Christ's call and went into the water. Faith is always expressed by obedience to Christ. Peter put his confidence in Christ's word, "Come," and he didn't look at his own inability to walk on water. God's grace is also sufficient for us. He's not expecting us to do anything on our own. His word tells us, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He will supply us with all the grace and strength that we need to do his will. How often do we hear the Lord calling us to do something that we believe is very difficult, and unlike Peter, the first thing we do is hesitate, think about it, because we don't know how it's going to work out. Faith is trusting and obeying God despite how we feel. In the Old Testament, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the desert towards the promised land, they had no visible means of support other than God. In the desert, there was no food, no water, yet every day God miraculously supplied them with water to drink and bread to eat. When Peter was in the boat, there was no visible way for him to walk on water. Christ didn't show Peter a hard path to walk on first or give him a detailed explanation of how it was going to work out. You see, God makes the way as we go. Only after Peter stepped out and walked towards Jesus did he see how God would make a way. Faith obeys first when commanded to do so, and then trusts God to make a way. Just as Peter walked on a boat, God will also enable us to do whatever he asks us to do. Did Peter start his walk of faith with God on water? When I was in college, I swam a lot. Penn State had an outdoors Olympic swimming pool. In the middle of the pool was this 10-meter platform. The platform had five different levels to dive from. The 1 meter, 3, 5, 7.5, and 10. I was comfortable diving at the lower levels because I had a lot of experience doing that. But I didn't have any experience at the higher levels. Often I would look up at that 10-meter platform and say, "Someday I'm going to do that." God does not ask us to do anything too difficult without building our faith first. It's a process. He builds it one level at a time. You see, Peter saw sick people made well, dead people come alive, water turned into wine. The reason he didn't hesitate to walk on water was that he had just witnessed Jesus take 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, and miraculously feed 5,000 men, women, and children. That miracle alone was enough for Peter to trust him with his life. Our walk with Jesus might not seem that dramatic, but God is always developing our faith, always pushing us to the next level. Now, the day came when I worked up the courage to go on the 10-meter platform. As I ascended the platform, my heart began to race. Fear gripped my entire body. After climbing what seemed to be an eternity, I arrived at the top. I slowly and cautiously walked to the end of the platform and looked down 33 feet to the water. It was breathtaking. I felt like I was on top of the Empire State Building. I stood there for a while. I started thinking, maybe this is not a good idea. Maybe I should turn around, go back down, and no one would see me. So I stood there for a few minutes to gather my courage. Every one of us has an opportunity to walk on water at some time in their life. Every so often we'll find ourselves in a position to do things that seem impossible, things that can't be done. And just like Peter, we'll hear a call from God that says, come. And if we do trust God, we'll find ourselves doing something we never anticipated doing. And no matter how firm our faith is, we can be certain that it'll be mixed with fear every step of the way. Isn't that what Peter experienced when he began walking on water? As soon as he became fully aware of what he was doing, he started to doubt himself. You could hear him start to ask himself questions like, what am I doing? I can't walk on water. I'm going to sink and drown. So what happens next? He began to sink beneath the waves. When I stood at the end of the platform, that was my moment of decision. I was faced with a choice, to trust God or not. With my heart racing, I prayed, Lord, help me. You see, at that moment, we either place our faith in God or our circumstances. So I stepped out in faith, believing that God would protect me. I finally let go of my fear and jumped, and it became a thrill of a lifetime. I remember flying through the air at warp speed, and as I entered the water, the first thing I could remember was thanking God for keeping me safe. You see, at that moment when Peter began to sink, Jesus was there. He reached out, grabbed Peter's hand, and pulled him out of the water. Then miraculously, Peter was safe in the boat. However, did Jesus congratulate Peter for having enough faith to step out of a safe boat into a stormy sea in the middle of the night and begin to walk on water? Not at all. His only comment was, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Isn't that our problem also? We all doubt at that critical moment when God is challenging our faith. That moment when it takes courage to step out and trust Him. When we finally take that step of faith and do the will of God, we find that everything goes perfectly. Better than we ever expected. But in our hearts, we will hear Him whisper, Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, we're no different than Peter. God will always challenge us to deeper walks of faith in Him. And at that moment, we will have doubts. The most difficult thing is for us to remember that God is with us. He's in control. Once we step out and trust Him, He will take over from there. It's always worth taking that step, even if we fail. It's the only way we will grow. God wants to take us from one level of faith to the next, and He will always be there to catch us. You see, jumping off a 10-meter platform may appear to be an unnecessary risk. However, it was something I needed to do in order to reach a new level of trust in Christ. God wants us to use the wisdom and discernment so that we could clearly hear His voice. But whether we like it or not, when we step out in faith, there will be risk. And that risk is well worth the reward. You see, those who stayed in the boat, who refused to risk their lives, gave up the ability to grow. And they paid the price for their safety. God always persuades us to step out and do His will, but He will never force us. How is faith developed? Romans 12:3 tells us that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's the starting point. Everyone gets some measure of faith to work with. From that point, faith is developed. How's it developed? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Several years ago, I purchased a book which contained the promises of God. It was very helpful. There was a promise for every circumstance in life. God's promises help us find courage and live according to His Word. This is where faith is developed. It's achieved by believing every promise God has made to us. This is a way of faith. He promises, we believe, and more importantly, we act on His Word. D.L. Moody once says, "Tarry at a promise, and God will meet you there." Promises predict the answers. They are the molds into which we pour our prayers. They foretell what to expect. They shape our praying. They motivate, direct, and determine our supplication. Promises like Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not." Matthew 21:22, "Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is the way of faith. He promises, we believe, and we act on His Word. This is one formula that we could trust. You see, all those heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, and Rahab, they moved the world by faith. Sometimes when we study these men and women of faith, we are overwhelmed by their accomplishments. However, they are no different than we are. They just had different missions. These great heroes of faith gained approval with God not because of their righteous character, their good deeds, but because of their faith. They had a mission, a purpose in life in which faith was required. They fulfilled it by obeying and trusting God completely. They did it by faith. Is God challenging you to do something that requires faith? Something that you need His strength to do? This is a great picture. Does anyone know who this is? My wife would probably say this is me when I'm not getting my supper on time. But it's really us. It's how we look when God asks us to step out in faith and do something that we really don't want to do. When we hear His command, "Do this," we end up crying, kicking, screaming, stomping our feet, doing whatever it takes to avoid His will, His greater purpose for our lives. Now, let's take a look at this picture one more time. I like the hair. This is still us, but this time as a child of God. God will not allow anything to happen to His children. He loves us. He'll protect us with all His might. He wants us to have childlike faith that trusts Him unconditionally. As we step out and put our faith in Him, He will be there. He will honor all those promises in the Bible, especially the one that says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." As a loving Father, He's always saying to us, "Take my hand, I will show you the way." But He requires us to take the first step. It's the only way we will grow. It's the only way of faith. So whatever God is calling you to do, stop fighting it, step out in faith, and trust Him, ye of little faith. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this message. Father, so often we thwart Your efforts to draw us closer to You, to bring us closer to Your will for our lives. If only we would realize that You love us so much and desire to accomplish so much for our lives.
Help us understand our growth depends on trusting you completely. Father, this morning we release any fears, those which have hindered our walk with you. Help us to step in faith and trust you to work everything out for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.